like to carry on in the trend of our brother's ministry, shall we turn to Psalm 68? The 68th Psalm.
This is our brother, Mr. Alfred Dudley, from South Africa.
Thank you. And reading at verse 4, please. I want to speak about a class of persons that figure very prominently in the purposes of God and in the dealings of God. And these persons are with us today. And God takes recognition of them in His consideration and in His care. Psalm 68 and verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens, by His name Jah, and rejoice before Him, a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. I read verse 5 again. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. And I'm sure we've got those class of persons here this evening. Let me turn over to the Gospel by Luke. Luke chapter 2, please. Read at verse 36 for brevity's sake. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asa. She was of great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now over to chapter 4, please. And reading in verse 24. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now chapter 7, please. I've rather already made reference to this. Chapter 7. And verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now to chapter 21, please, of the same Gospel. Chapter 18 first, thank you. Chapter 18. And verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying unto them, saying, There was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Lastly, in the Gospel by John, chapter 19. And reading at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. There are three portfolios in the divine economy which God administers himself personally, and this is one of them. I mentioned the other economies to see how God deals with these portfolios in these departments of the divine economy. First of all, God deals in the portfolio of immorality. And we read in Hebrews 13 that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Because of the secrecy of the actions of men in this regard, God says whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Then secondly, there is the portfolio of vengeance and recompense. And God says, vengeance is mine and recompense I will repay, because of the inadequacy of man to deal with the question of vengeance and recompense. And the third department that God administers himself is the department of the fatherless and the widow. God is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widow in his holy habitation. And wherever there is a fund for the fatherless and the widow, you support it, because it is in keeping with the mind and will of God concerning these who have passed through the valley of Baca and made it a well, and the rain also filling the pools. Dr. Luke seems to be very sympathetic toward the widow. He is the only gospel writer that mentions the five instances of the Lord dealing with the widow, showing the Lord's compassion and the Lord's sympathy to those who passed through the valley of sorrow. Dr. Luke, because of his profession, doesn't seem to have lost the human touch and the humanitarian attitude toward those who suffered this disadvantage in life. And we know the gospel by Luke is the gospel of the Son of Man, and we see that the Lord manifests sympathy toward these who are in such a distressing condition. We're living not in the day of the Lord's power, we're living in the day of the Lord's sympathy. And we see the Lord's sympathy going out to these five widows, and also that of the mother of the Lord in the 19th chapter. In the first instance, we've read about Anna, this prophetess, and we call the serving widow. Although I think, according to the calculation given to us in the scriptures, she was something like 77 years of age, and she was yet serving the Lord, waiting for the coming of the birth of the Lord Jesus, as promised in the Old Testament. And it is wonderful to notice that Anna never retired from the service of God. And the promise in the Psalms is, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall still flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Dear brother, dear sister, if you've grown old in the things of God, there is no such thing as retirement in the things of God. The promise of God is, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. We never retire from the service of God, because God never retires his servants. So Anna here, she was the serving widow, and the Lord accepted of her service. She had passed through the valley of Baca, made it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. She was richer for the experience of her bereavement and of her widowhood. The scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes said, it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for there the heart becomes wise. So we thank God for every widow who has passed through this experience, who has proved the blessing of God, the enrichment of the Spirit of God, and the knowledge of divine things. So here we have the serving widow, and the Lord accepted of her service. In the second instance, we have the supporting widow, the widow at Zarephath or Sarepta, that supported Elijah the prophet. And the Lord said, the days of the Doyen of the prophets, he was sent to none, but a widow in the Gentile territory. For a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. And you know, the very interesting illustration in the record in 1 Corinthians 17, where the Lord, after he had served him at the brook Cherith and the brook dried up, the Lord said, "Go to Zarephath, I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there." And in the days of drought and scarcity of food, it seemed ridiculous in the human sense, and it seemed impossible. "Go down to Zarephath, I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there." Elijah could have said, "A widow woman, that's the last place I'll get sustenance and support." But Elijah was characterized by a servant of God that remained in the place of divine appointment. Whether it was by Sarepta, whether it was by Cherith or Sarepta, he believed he had to be in the place of divine appointment if he was to be used of God. And that's a lesson we as the servants of the Lord need to learn. We're not freelancers. We can't go anywhere we like. We must be in the place of divine appointment. "Go down to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there." And you remember, as Elijah neared the city, he saw this widow gathering sticks. And she must have looked very poor and emaciated. But he trusted the promise of God. And he says to her, "Fetch me a little water." And she hastened to fetch him some water. That's possibly all she had. And while she was going, he said, "And bake me a cake." "Oh," she said, "I have no flour, I have no oil. I've just come to make the last meal for my son and I, and then we're going to die." He says, "You make me a cake first." And she actually responded. And she went. And then Elijah said, "The barrel of meal shall not waste, nor the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord send rain upon the earth." That supporting widow acted on divine principle. "Them that honor me I will honor. Them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." And again, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." And this woman got at least 1,000% dividend on her investment. She was the supporting widow, and God honored her, and God blessed her. And if there is a widow in this audience this evening, God takes cognizance of your help to God's people, and God will recompense, and God will multiply in reward. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." That was the supporting widow. We thank God for that. But then the next incident we read about in Luke's gospel was the sorrowing widow. The Lord was at Capernaum, as you read in the chapter before. And he said, "Let's go down." And he went unto Nain, some 30 miles, if you measure it on the map. The Lord knew there was a sorrowing widow who was bereaved of a son. Our brother was speaking about the Lord's compassion to his people and to his creatures. Here we see an outstanding illustration of the Lord's compassion to a sorrowing widow. 30 miles, he walks on foot. And at the nick of time, whatever the Lord does, his time is to perform. Never before, never after his time. As for God, his way is perfect. And the Lord arrives at the city of Nain as the funeral procession passes down. And he goes up to the hearse or the bier, and he stopped the bier. The people might have said, "Who is this stranger, and what right is he to stop the procession?" And we read earlier that Jesus had compassion on the mother and the widow who was bereaved of her only son. The Lord went 30 miles to comfort this widow who had lost her son. In the scriptures of truth we find that he restored an only daughter. He restored an only son. And in John 11, he restored an only brother, showing the Lord's knowledge of the family tie, and he had compassion on this woman, stopped the fear. He said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And I like the way Dr. Luke puts it. The young man arose, and he gave him to his mother, or gave him back to his mother. I think that's very beautiful. Seeing the Lord's compassion to the sorrowing widow. I was preaching in Australia some while ago, and I knew a dear widow with a very faithful son. He was very dutiful to order. If ever there was a son who was dutiful to his mother, that boy was. Never got married, He was devoted to his mother, and I admired the relationship between the son and his mother and the mother and the son. But I heard after we moved away that in a very strange way, in a very sudden way, the son was taken away. I felt very grieved for the mother because I knew the relationship that existed between the mother and the son. And when I got over to Adelaide, I made it my business to go up to this widow to comfort her concerning her son. I said to her, dear sister, calling her by name, I said, you have the joyful hope and expectation of meeting him again at the rapture, the coming of the Lord. She said, Mr. Dudley, I need him now. I want him now. I miss him so. I felt for that dear mother, losing an only son, having lost her husband early in life, but showing the breach of the relationship between the mother and the son. Yeah, the Lord knew that and went 30 miles to meet that funeral physician in order that he might manifest his compassion toward her. Dear brethren and sisters, do we realize, as our brother has been saying, that we have one who is compassionate? Jesus, seeing the multitude, going about as sheep having no shepherd, he had compassion on them. I wonder whether we enter into the compassionate feelings of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning the varying vicissitudes of human life. Yea, he had compassion on her and gave the son back to her the mother. We thank God that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one who is tested in all points like as we are. Sinapar, I must leave that. The next incident Dr. Luke records is the supplicating widow. And the chapter commences by saying, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then the Lord told the story about this widow with the unjust judge. And then this callous, indifferent judge would not take notice of the widow, but because of his own consideration and his own convenience, he said, this widow troubleth me. And he said, I will avenge her of her adversary. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect that cry unto him day and night, though he suffer long? Dear brethren and sisters, the Lord delays as far as our prayers are concerned, are not denials. For God will hear in his own good and acceptable time, as he did with this supplicating widow. The Lord heard her prayer, and the Lord granted her request, and the judge avenged her of her adversary. The supplicating widow. But then we find the widow with the two mites in chapter 21. The Lord sat over against the treasury. I like the way Dr. Luke puts it. He sits over against the treasury, and he observed all that was put in. Does he not still sit over against the treasury? Does the Lord not still observe what he's put in the treasury? It might be in a box, it might be in a bag. It might be unseen by men, but it's seen by the Lord. He still sits over against the treasury, and he observes that which he's inserted in the box or the bag in support of the Lord's work. He takes notice and he observes. And that day noticed a widow coming, and all that she possessed was two mites. That was just not even a quarter of a pence. And she put it all in. And the Lord remarked, he said, you know that widow? You notice the wealthy put in their contributions in all their volume and so on. But he said, this widow, she had put in more than all they contributed. Why did the Lord say that? Surely others may put in a lot more than she did. She put in two mites. Well, you see, the Lord measures and calculates how much you hold back, not how much you put in. So the Lord saw this dear widow and she put in two mites. The Lord sees she has cost in more than them all. In the days of Dr. Parker in London, he was building the extension to their building. And a widow came along and she said, Dr. Parker, here is a widow's mite toward the building fund. Dr. Parker said, but the widow put in two mites. Oh, she said, well, put her hand in the back. She said, the widow's two mites. Then Dr. Parker said, but we read in the scriptures, she put in all that she had. And then the widow changed her mind. She gave the second contribution, but she was not willing to go the whole length and give all that she had. Here was the widow, the sacrificing widow. She gave all that she had, and the Lord took recognition of it. Dear brother, dear sister, the Lord still sits over against the treasury, and he observes and notices that which he's put in. And what we give us unto the Lord, the sacrificing widow. But then we find that Paul, in the fifth chapter of his letter to Timothy, he occupies at least 15 verses in giving instructions about the widow. You say, Paul, surely those are widows. Fancy using 15 verses in giving instructions about the care of widows. And then in the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we find the apostles who had the great commission to preach the word of the Lord throughout the whole earth. They take time off to appoint 7 deacons to attend to the need of the widows, the Jewish, the Hebrew, and the Grecian widow. They acted under the direction of God and by the guidance of God to minister to the needs of these who had suffered bereavement and sorrow in life. I mention these things to show the Lord's compassion and consideration and care for those who have been bereaved and sorrowing in life. I repeat, God is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. He's God in his holy habitation, the portfolio that God administers himself personally. Why do you think the Lord observed that portfolio himself? I think it's because of the sympathy and care and consideration that is required in that department that the Lord administers it himself. But then we came on to the 19th chapter. Dr. Luke gives us at least 5 widows and their illustrations and their relationship with the Lord. But here we come to the 19th chapter. And we find this is the scene of the cross. The Lord is suffering excruciating pain and agony, such as a man never bore before. For the prophet Isaiah said his visage was so marred more than any man's, and his form more than the sons of men, until it was beyond recognition that of a human being. Imagine the effect of the brutalities inflicted upon him. But yet as he saw his mother and John standing at the foot of the cross, he performed the last act of duty toward his widowed mother. And I believe she was widowed. If she wasn't, why did John commit the keeping of his beloved mother to his favorite disciple, John? Surely if Joseph was living, he would have cared for his wife. But we've reason to believe, because the name of Joseph is not mentioned anymore after the beginning of the gospel, we believe his mother was widowed. And here the Lord turns and he looks at his mother. He looks at his favorite beloved disciple John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he performs the last earthly act of his duty toward his mother. So the scriptures say, children, honor thy parents, honor thy father and thy mother. So shall thy days be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So shall it be well with thee. A commandment which is ignored today. There is a twofold blessing in the child's honoring its parents. It shall be well with thee. Thy day shall be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If I'm addressing myself to any child, you have a duty towards your parents. A God-given duty, a bounden duty, which carries with it a twofold blessing. Spurgeon in his preaching once said, the child that doesn't love his parents is not worth hanging. And I think it's true. Shall I repeat that? A child that does not love his parents, or is not dutiful to his parents, is not worth hanging. Children, honor your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. But this is right. And here the Lord, notwithstanding the excruciating pain and the suffering that he was enduring, looks upon his dear mother. He says, Mother, behold thy son. And then he turns to the disciples and he says, son, behold thy mother. And I like what John says, yeah. From that hour, he didn't wait, he said, I'll see you tomorrow or the next day. From that hour, John took her unto his own. The word home, I believe, is not in the original. Here the Lord declared a divine decree of adoption. John concurred. I've now adopted the Lord's mother, and the Lord has adopted me as a son. He took unto his own, as if he were her son, and she his own mother. The last act of duty to the Savior's mother, the broken-hearted widow. In the Nazareth Manifesto of Luke chapter 4, we read the Lord had given at least 7 clauses in that manifesto. The first is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath sent me to preach the good tidings of the gospel. Good tidings unto the meek. But the second clause in the Nazareth Manifesto is to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, I like that. And we see in the Lord's ministry on earth, toward this widow, and toward his fellow creatures, we see the Lord administering this function in the Nazareth Manifesto. He heals the brokenhearted. We thank God for the compassionate Son of Man. And Jesus Christ, as the writer of the Hebrews says, is the same yesterday, what he was upon earth. Today and forever, the Lord Jesus Christ is unchanging in his attitude toward his creatures, as our brother said, and is unchanging in his compassion to those who have met misfortune in life. God is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. Time does not permit, but if you read into the Decalogue, we find God has some very serious things to say about those who defraud the widow. And in the Scriptures of Truth, there's some reference made 60 or 70 times about widow or widow. Why is God so particularly concerned with the widow? Because of his compassion. And at least, I repeat, 60 to 70 times, reference is made to this class of person. And over in the Decalogue, God said, thou shalt not afflict the widow or the fathers. A prohibition is placed upon her. You dare not. And he says, you must not take the widow's garment to pledge. She needs it for her comfort. And you dare not do that, although she owes you money. And lastly, in the book of James, he says, pure religion or true religion and undefiled before God, not God and the Father, God the Father, because it speaks of God in his provision for his own. True religion before God the Father is to visit the fatherless widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. True religion, in the appearance of it, in the manifestation of it, is the thought, is to show compassion toward the widow and the fathers. Why did he say that? Because God, the Father, is concerned about these groups. And therefore, if anybody is following in the pathway of the Lord's ministry, and manifesting the Lord's compassion, he'll manifest this visiting the Father. And of course, when he visits, he takes something with him. Not just a payer, sort of a courtesy visit. The thought is, he visits them by ministering to their need. Visit the fatherless and the affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. So we see in the Scriptures of Truth that God is very concerned. God is very kind and cares for those who pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, or the valley of tears. We see that God is a compassionate God. The psalmist says, like as a father pitieth, so the Lord pitieth. I like that. Dear brother, dear sister, God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all compassion. And we may trust him and we may rely upon him, because he has revealed himself such in his word. May the Lord comfort especially the heart of the widow and the fathers in the ministry of his word, that we might take consolation and comfort from the attitude of God and the thoughts of God concerning those who have been bereaved. God bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.